Hey, everyone. Welcome back to Crime Weekly News. I'm Derek Levasseur.
And I'm Stephanie Harlow.
Stephanie, I would ask you how you're feeling, although I think after a couple seconds of people hearing you speak, they're all going to know that you're not feeling great tonight.
I have a high fever and I am stuffy, but I'm going to be fine. This happens at least, you know, once or twice a month. I just come down with something for a few days and feel absolutely like garbage and then I'm back.
Yeah. I feel like a lot of the parents out there are going to be able to empathize with you because although this may not be the case this time, I feel like with kids, even though you and I kind of work, I guess you would call it like a, you know, we work from home type thing, even though we're around some people with children, even though you're not getting that exposure, the kids come home and they bring everything with them. And basically your house is a petri dish. So even if you're not out there catching it, whether you're not traveling or not, the kids will make sure that you're exposed and get that immune system boosted before the winter months get here again.
Yeah. You know what else would boost my immune system? A full night of sleep. I gotta really start doing that.
Sleep. You know what? I've heard that is good for you.
I heard it's like actually the key to not getting sick as much.
Sleep is this, you know, this concept that they discuss a lot. And for some reason, many of us don't listen.
Well, it's a fairly new developing science. Yeah, so I'm...
I don't know if I believe it yet. The jury's still out.
I'm withholding my opinion for at least a few hundred years until I could see some real stats.
We'll see what happens. No, sleep would definitely help you there. Okay. So tonight's case, we're going to talk about two cases, actually. The first one is going to not be known to most of you, but it is interesting because it's from Duxbury, Massachusetts, which is not too far from me. The second story we're going to talk about is Scott Peterson. Some of you may have heard that name before. We covered a big series on him. I think we covered a Crime Weekly News even.
Yeah.
Definitely with the Innocence Project. And we talked about
the Los Angeles Innocence Project.
And there's been some more developments in that. I know a lot of people are talking about it. So it's not enough to do a whole new Crime Weekly on, but it's definitely enough to cover here. So that out of the way, let's talk about the first story. So on Thursday, April 25th, 2024, 22-year-old Jack Callahan was convicted of involuntary manslaughter in the death of his father, Scott Callahan, who died in a local pond on June 28th, 2021 during a baptism. Stephanie, give us the details on this one, because I will tell you, just on the surface, reading a little bit about it, it has some similarities to a case we covered not too long ago, which was Sergio Brown, if you remember that one with his mom.
Yeah.
So I think there's an undertone here of mental health, but I think we got to go over the details and then we can break it down.
So, I would say mental health is probably a concern here. And I was surprised because this happened in 2021 and I had never heard about it until obviously he was, you know, convicted recently this month. But it's the kind of case that you think you would hear about because of the reason that Jack gave.
Yeah.
So police in Duxbury, Massachusetts responded to a call in the early morning hours of June 28th, 2021. And this call claimed that Jack Callahan, who was 19 at the time, he was acting erratically and his father, Scott, was missing. This call came in around 2 a.m. and it was reportedly made by Jack's mother, who also mentioned that her son had arrived home wearing wet clothes. When police arrived to the home on Sampson Street, they found Jack acting distraught and hyperventilating. Officers would also locate Scott Callahan in the water of this pond. He was not responsive, and he was pronounced dead at Beth Israel Deaconess Hospital. Now, when he was initially asked about what had happened, Jack allegedly told investigators he didn't know what had happened because he'd blacked out. The age-old excuse for crimes. When you know that you're caught, when you know there's enough evidence to point directly at you, and you can't just tell people you didn't do it, you got to say you blacked out. I don't necessarily believe this, by the way. I don't believe that people black out and can't remember committing crimes. I guess I'd have to experience it to really buy into it. But yes, he blacked out, didn't remember what had happened. But during the investigation, police discovered that that evening, or the evening before at least, Jack had gotten a ride into Boston. He got an Uber and he picked up his father from a bar. And this was after his father had left an alcohol abuse treatment center. The Uber vehicle dropped both men off by Island Creek Pond, where they reportedly began to argue. And then Jack submerged his father under the water several times. And allegedly, Jack said he did this because he had thought he'd seen a demon in his father's eyes and he was attempting to baptize him. I feel like there's more to the whole baptism thing than just shoving somebody's head under the water. You know, like, I feel like you sort of have to be trained in that, maybe have some sort of, I don't know, qualifications. And maybe the water's got to be blessed or something. I don't think you can just dunk somebody's head under the water and say, you're healed, you know, your demon's gone. But that's what happened. And then Jack left his father floating in the pond. Scott Callahan, during his autopsy, was discovered to have a cut on his head and water in his lungs. His cause of death was determined to be drowning, and the manner of death was determined to be a homicide by the medical examiner. And I guess my question is, it just seems like a lot in these last several years. There's been a lot of cases of people committing crimes out of these extreme beliefs or ideologies, whether religious or political. Because I don't think just an average person would, like, I wouldn't see what I thought to be a demon in somebody's eyes, and my first thought would be to drown them in a pond to baptize them, you know? There has to be some sort of, I feel like, religious beliefs or extreme beliefs behind those actions. And it makes me feel like, since really 2020, the world's kind of been turned upside down. It's like we entered a different portal that year, and nothing's really been the same or felt the same since. And raise your hand out there if anyone feels me. Let me know in the comments. But people just seem to be more stressed, more angry, more on guard, and 100% more isolated from each other. It's like we went into lockdown for 2 years and then we came out of it and we just thought we didn't need anybody anymore. And so no one goes out, no one really sees each other. And there's sort of this, I think, gap and hole that's been left behind by human connection that's being filled up with these extreme ideologies. And it's a little bit concerning.
Yeah, no, I hear you. And I think it's an interesting point you bring up. I don't know if I think here with the ruling, having him be found guilty of involuntary manslaughter says a couple things. Yes, they feel like he's responsible, but also they're not hitting him with second degree murder. Obviously, it wasn't premeditated, or they don't believe it was. But the fact that he was convicted of involuntary manslaughter tells us that there is, at least in the court's eyes, a belief that he is going through some type of mental struggle. There was something going on there. And in the top of the show, it does say in the title, baptisms in quotations, right? So I guess I should speak for myself. I don't necessarily, this isn't an actual baptism, but who am I to say that in that moment, he didn't believe it was an actual baptism? And it sounds like the court, to a certain degree, believed him, right? Is that fair to say?
I think that he actually
did believe, yeah, like,
I think he referred to it as an exorcism. But as we've discussed in our Halloween episode, a baptism is technically a minor exorcism, so those two terms are interchangeable, I guess.
So you're saying more technically it would be a baptism based on the behavior?
Well, because he was dunking him underwater. That's a baptism. A baptism and an exorcism are the same thing, I suppose.
Mm. Yeah. So, yeah, I think you make some valid points. I feel with, like, science, you know, the technology that's out there, and then the internet and our social media and the ability to be exposed to all these things, you're getting news instantaneously, even from more obscure cases. And then on top of that, there's a lot of talk about mental health these days, because frankly, to be honest, it's being politicized in a lot of arenas. And so depending on where you fall, you could feel different about it. But I don't think anybody, regardless of how you feel about certain political issues, would dispute the idea that we have a serious mental health crisis in this country. What the reason is behind that, I'm not smart enough to say. But I do think you're onto something where there was a major psychological impact from COVID that affected a lot of people when they were removed from society for almost, you know, a year, where we just couldn't really interact with anyone. And I don't know if that caused more issues with people who had pre-existing conditions, or or maybe brought out some things that we were unaware of, or maybe created some issues because of what we went through.
All of the above, I would say.
I mean, listen, I don't know, but it does seem like we're hearing about it more, and I think it's a combination of things. And it's unfortunate because if we're looking at Jack, and I don't know what the dynamic was beforehand, but if we were to find out that Jack and Scott had a good relationship before this, what a tragic story to think that because of what Jack was experiencing, he saw something that wasn't there and ended up killing his own father. I don't know what their relationship was like beforehand, but if that were the case, it just makes that case that much more tragic. And I'm thinking about their family because they lose no matter what here. They lost, for the mom, she lost a son and a husband. Mm-hmm. And for the rest of the family, they're all affected by it as well.
I mean, I wonder, it sounds like his father was an alcoholic, and it sounds like he got out of his drug or alcohol treatment facility and went right to a bar. And so, you know, there may have been some anger there, some resentment there. Jack may have been upset. Like you checked out of rehab and you went right to a bar. Who knows what his father did to himself and his mother during his battle with alcoholism. There may have been some anger there. I don't know if he saw a demon, and I don't know if he blacked out. I don't even know if he thought he saw a demon and blacked out. He may have just killed his father out of anger, and he's using this as an excuse. But I still don't I don't think you can be mentally well and healthy and take somebody's life. And you certainly can't be after you take somebody's life. So without a doubt in my mind, there's a mental health factor at play.
Yeah, I agree. And it looks like in this particular case, the court agreed that there was something going on, hence the charges that were handed down and the sentencing on what he was actually convicted of. So to change gears real quick, let's talk about Scott Peterson. Obviously, everyone knows who Scott Peterson is. Stephanie, you may already be familiar with what's going on, but just to give you guys all a refresher. So prosecutors have asked the California court to block new DNA testing of disputed evidence in 2002, which belongs to or is it's entwined in the murder of Lacey Peterson and her unborn son, Connor. And this is a big part of the latest appeal for Scott Peterson. Now, as Stephanie said at the top of the show, the Los Angeles Innocence Project is spearheading this appeal. They took on Scott's case in January. Now, in regards to the actual evidence, and I thought this was pretty fascinating, the lawyers for Scott Peterson are arguing that a mattress found in a burned out car near where the Petersons were living back in 2002 could show that someone else was responsible for killing Lacey and Connor. And they're appealing this case saying, hey, listen, we want this DNA evidence to be tested with the latest and greatest technology available today. Now, the DA's office is saying, not so fast. This shouldn't happen.
Because it's done been tested. Am I wrong?
This DNA was already tested in 2013 and 2019. It went nowhere. And they went on to say some other things, but it was interesting. Scott actually came in on like a video feed for this, and he's obviously looking older than we see.
I was just thinking that. I was like, Scott Peterson looks rough, man.
Yeah, I mean, prison will do that to you.
He looks hardened. He looks like he could actually, like, you know, there's like a picture of him here when he first goes in. He's got his like frosted tips. Remember? Because he like bleached his hair when he was trying to go on the run. And now he looks like a cast member from Oz.
Oh, Jesus. Well, what do you think about this?
I think that the whole van thing to begin with is a red herring and just, you know, one of those Jose Baez throw something at the wall and see if it sticks tricks. I don't think there's anything to it. And I think that they're just trying anything they can. And as the DA's office said, we tested this DNA on this mattress in 2019. It is 2024. Nothing has, you know, like changed drastically in the DNA testing field in the past 5 years where this is going to be some huge revelation and Scott's going to walk out of prison. And as he walks, his like slicked back Oz hair is going to transform back into his frosted tips and the angels will sing. This is not going to happen. This is a delusion. They're just trying. They're trying, which I guess when you're sitting in prison for the rest of your life every single day, what else are you going to do? What else are you going to do?
Yeah. And just to make sure I get this right for anybody who is going to be watching this or listening to this. Supposedly, or I shouldn't say supposedly, it is regarding a mattress and a hammer. Those are the two items in question. My take on this might surprise you. Now, there's some caveats with this, though. I don't have an issue with it. Scott's behind bars. I have said numerous times I believe he's responsible for Lacey's murder and Connor's murder, and that's where he deserves to be. But he's behind bars. So, and there is a possibility he could be innocent. I've always said that. I mean, there's a lot of people who've gone to prison for crimes they didn't commit, so it would be irresponsible for me to say that it's not possible Scott's innocent. So I have no problem with the Los Angeles Innocence Project taking on this case. I have no problem with them filing the appeal. I don't even have a problem, although I agree with you 100% that the advancements in DNA, there are actually have been some recent developments because we're working a case for Criminal Coffee where something that we're going to try is just brand new within the last year. However, as I'm learning, it's super expensive. So what I don't agree with is I don't think taxpayers should be paying for this because now it just becomes a waste of resources because there's a lot of cases out there, sexual assault cases, murder cases, where we need the funding for those cases and they haven't been tested yet. So I am all for this. And if I were the prosecutors, I would have no problem blocking it. I would keep it very specific to what they're asking for and not open up the whole can of worms. However, I would put it in there that if it's going to happen, it obviously has to go through the proper chain of custody, but the actual payment for the testing would be paid for either by Scott Peterson or by the Los Angeles Innocence Project. It's not going to come out of the pockets of the taxpayers because at that point, now we're getting into an area where it could be just considered a wasteful resource, a wasteful spending on a case that's already been kind of adjudicated. So that's kind of my feeling on it. Again, if they want to flip the bill, I'm all for it. I see where the prosecutors are coming from. It's not like they have this one case and they're sitting at their desks waiting for the next one. They have thousands of cases probably in backlog that they have to work on and research and prepare for. And if this case is brought back in, now they have to go back and prepare for this one again, like they had to probably do in 2013 and 2019. So I see both sides to it, but that's kind of like my just off the, you know, shooting from the hip, how I feel about it. Hey, you guys want to pay for it to prove that, you know, it's not him. You go right ahead and pay for it. But if it doesn't go anywhere, it's your money, not ours.
I agree. I think that he actually would be willing to pay for the DNA testing.
Of course.
Testing.
Yeah. He would raise the money in a heartbeat.
He would do it himself if he could.
Yes. He would have the money in a heartbeat because a lot of people do believe
he's innocent. A lot of
people
do still support him. Yes.
So you're not completely opposed to that idea.
I mean, if he wants to waste his own money and waste his own time testing some old mattress and hammer that done been tested twice, he can do it. I don't care. Yeah. I'm sick of hearing about him and I'm sick of hearing from him. It's like at this point, how have you become more obnoxious and more detestable than Chris Watts? Because you just will not go away. At least Chris Watts has shut up, you know, for the most part.
In fairness to him, and I'm not a Scott Peterson sympathizer, but we're the ones that are talking about him, or I guess I am. I brought him up tonight and the media and stuff. So he's not asking for the attention. He'd probably rather not have it at this point because it hasn't helped him. But yeah, overall, I just don't want to see, because I see how expensive these tests are these days and how many cases need testing. I just don't want to see money being dedicated to this because it's a highly publicized case when it could go to some victim in the middle of the country who doesn't have the resources, doesn't have the backing, and yet there's a rape kit sitting in a locker right now that hasn't been tested because they don't have the resources or the personnel or the funding to do it. It just, I don't want to see that. That's where my head's at.
I agree. And like I said, I think it's a waste of time. There's really, to me, it's just one of those cases. It's like Casey Anthony. I know he did it. I know he did it. Now, is there a slim chance he didn't? Yeah, I guess. There's also a slim chance that aliens could come down right now and abduct me and put me to bed because I need a nap. It's not going to happen. And he definitely did this. He killed his wife and his unborn child. He's a compulsive liar. He was always a compulsive liar. So are we expecting anything different from him now? He's a narcissist. he's a narcissist. He genuinely believes he's innocent, and he's genuinely convinced himself at this point that he's innocent because it's the only way he can survive, because his innocence at this point is so tied to his identity. And
well, he also has nothing to lose.
He has nothing to lose, but I think he's literally convinced himself that he did not do this. And that's the power of the mind, but he cannot convince me. And I don't know how many other people he can convince, to be fair.
No, I mean, there's definitely, the numbers are dwindling, but...
Or are they getting more? It feels like more people are all of a sudden jumping on the Scott Peterson train, and I don't understand why.
I feel like as more time goes on and we do find cases, even if it's only a few, where people who were behind bars for 20, 30 years for a crime they didn't commit and they get out, I think people are just more cognizant of the fact that, you know, these people claim their innocence back then too, and it took 30 years for them to get out. How many people claim their innocence and never got out, right? Like died or in prison or were given the death penalty for a crime they didn't commit. I think it makes people question our justice system, which is not wrong. So when you have someone who you've heard for so many years say, I'm innocent, because he's getting the media attention, I do feel like some people over time forget what he's accused of and the facts behind the case and start to just focus on the more recent news they've heard of innocent people getting out of prison for crimes they didn't commit, and they start to tie the two together and they think, could he be telling the truth? Is it possible? I mean, this case wasn't that much of a slam dunk. Could police, and we know there were problems in this case, right? So could they have gotten it wrong? And I think there's a level of skepticism and distrust.
How often do you have to test something though?
That's the problem.
And it's almost like Scott and his legal team are saying like, oh, the prosecutors, the DA in this case, we don't even trust them to test this because they're the ones who put him away. And so why would they want to be honest or upfront? You know, it's kind of creating this like little conspiracy theory thing. Like they don't trust the testing that's already been done.
Exactly. Or they're arguing that basically the DNA testing that was done, even though it's been a short period of time, it has made a big jump in its ability to detect what they're looking for. And I will say, 5 years DNA wise, there could be something there. But again, I just don't think at this point it should be the responsibility financially of the courts and therefore the taxpayers. So interested to hear what you guys have to say. This is I'm sure something that many of you have an opinion on. Weigh in on these two cases. If you're watching on YouTube in the comments below, let us know what you think. If you're listening on audio, we would appreciate if you leave a review for Crime Weekly News. We don't get a ton of Crime Weekly News reviews. So if you have an opportunity and you like the shorter episodes, leave us a review. Let us know what you think. That's going to do it for us. Stephanie, anything to add?
I don't. I actually enjoyed the little Scott Peterson like detour, because now I'm kind of looking into this. And
I could see you typing.
Yeah, I'm interested. It's like annoying to me. The DA's office seems super annoyed about it, and I am also annoyed because I'm like, what else are we supposed to do here? But I'm interested into seeing what the public opinion is at this point. And so I'm going to look that up. But also, I want you guys to tell me in the comment section, what's your take on it? Are you like on the fence? Are you like me where you're like, Scott Peterson's absolutely guilty? Or are you, you know, over here stumping for Scott and trying to get him out with his frosted tips again? Let us know.
Yes, it's frosted tips. Absolutely. Guys, we appreciate you being here. We will be back Friday with the Menendez Brothers Part 3 audio, and we will be out on Sunday on YouTube. Please check out the episode on Friday. We have a big announcement. We've been waiting to tell you guys for a while. Wait no further. It's coming Friday. And if you're obviously a YouTube listener, that'll be out on Sunday. Everyone stay safe out there. We'll see you later this week.